Last week, while up in Tahoe, my friend Steph and I went to Sugar Pine Point State Park to gather with a few dozen others and listen to a ranger-led talk on the cosmos, after which we all ventured out onto a large pier to stargaze. Not only did I learn stuff in the kid-oriented talk, like the term Goldilocks planet, not too hot, not too cold, likely existence of water, the first one of which was discovered only in 1990, and since then we've identified something like 40 such planets. Goldilocks planets conceivably could support some form of life. We could have company out there in the universe. We gazed for constellations. The Big Dipper has always been easy for me to spot, but I learned how to reliably find the Little Dipper, too. Dave, the astronomer ranger, was there on the pier to help us sort out other constellations among the dense stars and the splash of the Milky Way across the entire sky, clearly visible over our heads. Jutted out into the expanse of Lake Tahoe, with only a bit of light pollution from Reno to the northeast, we had a view of outer space that we, here in civilization, no longer have. Dave, with the help of the night sky, created a homespun kind of experience that was altogether magical at the same time. Steph and I could have gone out onto the pier to see the stars on any given night on our own, but there was something really special about sharing the wonder, the discovery of what surrounds our planet home with other summer vacationers, being with others who also were interested enough to venture out of their cabins and campsites and wait until dark to see the stars made it communal and an entirely different, richer, and sweeter experience. I felt connected. Then on Sunday night, after dinner at my folks, some of us got involved in a very engaged conversation about the presidential race, fears about what might happen if we pondered the state of our country, planet, and whether real change, especially in how we impact the climate, is truly possible. There's such a strong reaction to both the candidates, though much more to one than the other in the circles I travel in. I hear many express something along the lines of, how can so many people be in support of someone like that? There's a strong tendency to be aghast at this candidate and jump on the scathing criticism bandwagon. We cannot relate to anyone who could possibly vote for this person. And the thought is, if we make sure that as many people as we can truly understand the likely ramifications of such a presidency, there's no way that candidate could win, right? But I keep reminding both myself and those I talk to that we need to be paying attention not to what this candidate represents, regardless of how strong our reaction is to it, but instead to how it is that so many millions of people are saying a big hell yes to it. There have been off-the-wall candidates for President of the United States before, but none have gotten this kind of traction, have had this kind of resonance. There's a whole lot of making the other wrong and bad. We are disconnecting from each other, or not attempting connection in the first place. Along my path to self-discovery, there's a thread, and it is the word connection. It is my number one strength in the Strengths Finder. It's my first noble quality as the thing that I want most for those I love. It's in my codes. Connection has many forms. I find connection between ideas, people, and I see how it creates patterns. Connection brings meaning. It's why I write about each painting so people can possibly connect what their eyes see through story and words to something deeper. My teaching has taken the form of regular groups where those who come can forge a bond, a connection with each other. I understand now why I have not been called to travel all over teaching workshops like most art teachers seem to do. I'd rather stay home where connection is most alive for me. I have an inner meter that registers connection. If you watch for it, you'll see it all over the place. It's there in the camaraderie and joined purpose in construction crews and amongst sports team members. It's in the care and tenderness between parents and children as they're out shopping. It's there between humans and their pets. Look for it in vet's offices. I can sense it in well-done marketing, and the absence of it is glaringly obvious, too. There's a big bank chain that has someone at the door welcoming people as they come in. This seems like a nice idea, but I always find it fake, assigning welcome to an entry-level employee. It seems much more natural and real to have a teller mention briefly to people waiting in line that she or he knows they're there and will get to them as soon as possible. When I get someone in a call center who's able to speak to me human to human, it makes all the difference. when we remember we are all people who have those we love and who love us, it's another world. Though I'm a connection seeker, it seems to me that cynicism is rampant these days. Bad news, conflict, violence is far more reportable, and in the face of that, it's easy to be pessimistic and dismissive. But it's also the luxury of those of us who don't really understand how much we need and are dependent upon each other. This ties into what I shared about the past 2 weeks. Cynics aren't curious. They already have their mind made up. There's no place in them, in their point of view, for I don't know. The capacity and willingness to connect, to be curious, to stand in not knowing, all take a bit or a lot of risk. We have to open a portal into ourself and step out of the security of our certainty. The thing is, we don't know what will happen. If we choose fear, protectionism, clinging to the familiar, we very well may not take action in time, wrecking the climate of this planet such that it will not support the life that is currently here. It is possible there could be an immense suffering, a dieback of the human race. But even considering that possibility, I'm not going there. I cannot believe that we evolved as a species to have the consciousness that we have, with all its creative capacities, to have it all go to hell in a handbasket. Over the history of humankind, we've become more inclusive, more tolerant, more conscious, more awake and aware. It's steady and progressive. It's the evolution of human consciousness. This is the evolution of human consciousness. Life is more precious. We are more connected, and the world has gotten smaller and smaller. Thousands of years ago, the people in the next town were our arch enemy, competing for resources. Now they are our community. The other, by and large, has gotten further and further away. I'm banking on this carrying us into a new future, one that we cannot yet imagine. I have to think that stargazing is a good thing to do to forge connection with others and the planet we each share with them. Looking out into space is a powerful reminder of how little Earth is in the scope of the ever-expanding universe. From this perspective, we are all Earthlings. Life here has taken the form of human beings in us as its expression, along with all the animals and plants that we share the biosphere with. This Friday night is supposed to be the peak of a meteor shower. I'll be up in Cloverdale, perched high up on hill, the start of a painting weekend with friends. A perfect place to see the light show the cosmos has in store for us. Wherever you'll be, know that I'm aware of our connection and appreciating sharing this life with you. With my love, Kara.